I'm really delighted to let you know that we are going to be setting in two new elders later on this year. The scripture says in 1 Timothy and Titus that elders need to be above reproach. And I personally think it's a good thing to let people know well in advance of people within the local house that are becoming elders, because if anyone has any concerns about that, they can come and talk to the pastors, because we want no concern to be there at all. This is a precious couple who I love and serve alongside. And they qualify with the biblical qualifications. They've got an exemplary family life, devotional life, and love for this house. We as elders and the regional leaders, Pastor June, Michael, and Joshua, 100% affirm this decision to welcome Alfred Chong and Kelly Chong into eldership of Auckland Central. Number five is really part two of that. It's not only eldership, but we have been walking together now for probably well over a year, talking about what's the call of God on their life and where to from here. As many of you would know, Alfred's quite brilliant. Many of you may not know, but Kelly does a lot of pastoral work behind the scenes, more relationally and one-to-one amongst women. And we have sensed that there's a call of God on their life to be pastors and ordained in Every Nation Ministries. Again, that's taken about 6 months, I think, since late last year. Just they'll be meeting with the elders, talking, praying, and a lot of this is discerned and observed. Calling, gifting, seeing the fruit of all of that. And so, once again, all of the leadership regionally and locally accept and acknowledge the will of God on their lives and the call of God upon their lives to become ordained pastors within Every Nation Ministries. And so we're really excited about that. And on the 26th of November, later on this year, we're going to be having an ordination service. Actually, it's going to be both eldership and pastoring. Okay? We have, they're two separate things. Biblically, they come from the same word, but you can have great elders that aren't necessarily called to full-time pastoring, and you can have even pastors, youth pastors, worship pastors, that don't necessarily have the wisdom and the discernment to be elders at that point. Does that make sense? So we have two overlapping circles. They're coming into both. And so on the 26th of November, Pastor Joshua Opadiah is coming over from Sydney, a wonderful Nigerian preacher, and he's going to be here to officiate a beautiful, glorious ordination service for Alfred and Kelly Chong. Amen? So make it clear, Kelly will be a pastor. Kelly will be an elder. Alfred will be a pastor, and Alfred will be an elder. Just so we're clear and we're distinct. We believe in female ordination of elders, and we believe in women pastors. Amen? Hallelujah. Wonderful. Right. With that in mind, we thought we would transition a segue right now into learning about one of those two, in particular Kelly. I think many of us see her and see her around serving without Alfred and family and children, but I'd like us to get to know her story. And so could we once again give a round of applause to Alfred and Kelly as they come on up and join us here. Wonderful. Good to have you guys. Did you bring the lattes, Kelly? No? Okay. We've got a microphone there. You want to get that microphone to your wife there, mate?
I'll hold it first.
Well, you will? Okay. All right. No, Alfred. Do what you're told. That's great. Fantastic. Well, this is Kelly, and this is her husband, Alfred. Fantastic. So, Kelly, I've seen Kelly Chong. I've seen Kelly Tang. Your email is kellypw@gmail.com or something. Who named you Kelly?
Me, myself, and I.
can you talk up nice and loud, my dear?
Me, myself, and I.
Okay. Really?
Yes.
Did you find it on the back of a Weet-Bix packet or what? What would you?
Actually, I don't know. I was just looking for a name That I can sign with the IE.
Oh, really? Okay, could be. Okay, good. Elfie. So what's your Chinese name?
Po Wan Tang.
Everybody say it together. Wang Tang. Fantastic. We're just going to bring you around, get you comfortable there. And so what's the story? I've called you Kelly Chong all these years, and now I find out it's actually Kelly Tang. Is there something we should know?
Not really. It's just that I didn't change my last name after we got married. So, okay. Yeah.
Is it a cultural thing, is it?
I think cost effective.
Well, basically in Malaysia, when you get married, you don't need to change your last name because it's not being a multicultural country. All the other ethnicity, they don't change. So we just keep our own name.
Okay, cool.
Save some money too.
Very cool. Well, why don't we just do some quick fire stuff just to get to know a little bit about you, nice and light. Do you have any nicknames?
Yes, I got one when I was 10 years old. We have a teacher from UK, and he made us say our name to put our surname as last name, but we don't do that in Malaysia. But he enforced it to my class. So instead of Tang Po Wan, he enforced us to say Po Wan Tang. And because I come from Malaysia, and one of the food is wonton. So, yeah.
So they called you a wonton?
Yes.
Ah.
You can call wonton soup, wonton noodle.
Ah. Now you're making me all hungry. What does Alfred call you when he's feeling particularly affectionate? Is it PG or should we just move on?
Actually, I have no idea. Maybe we should ask him.
Okay, we'll move on. Okay, all right. Favorite color, Kelly?
White.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And if you weren't at church on a Sunday morning, what would you be doing or like to do?
In bed.
Really? Would you like us to move the service time a bit later just so you can have a good sleep in?
No.
No, okay. Oh, good. We all like a good sleep, eh? Anybody get a good sleep? No? Watch the All Blacks till late at night? What's the strangest thing you've ever eaten?
Actually, I don't know what it's called in English. It's like a frog.
You can tell us in Arabic.
No.
Oh, frog.
Frog, yeah.
Oh, really?
In congee, yeah.
And did you start with the toes and move up the leg and then into the body, or did you just... All the innards just bursting in your mouth?
It's already disintegrated in the porridge.
Oh, okay, charcoal. All right, okay. Wow. Okay, Kelly, well, just maybe just one more little light one, you know, as we kind of get to know this reserved lady. Who would be your favorite superhero?
Can't think of anybody.
Besides Alfred, of course.
When I was young, I used to see my dad as a hero. And it's in a negative way and a positive way. Because he will make us late because he will stop the car if he sees somebody's having a car trouble. And then he would stop at the side and then offer his help. And then we're all in the car burning because he's in Malaysia. Yes. But he was like, yeah, it would take a minute. And so 1 hour later.
Wow. Yeah. So where were you born?
In Malaysia, KL.
KL. And you came here, what year?
2005? Yeah, 12 years ago.
Okay, fantastic. So tell us a little bit about how God came into the picture when you gave your life to Christ. Was that when you were younger?
Yes. I come from a non-Christian family. So both my mom and my dad are not Christian. But my dad forced me and my younger sibling to attend Sunday school when I was about 9 years old to brush up on our English language. And so every Sunday he will drive us to the Sunday school and drop us off. So he doesn't go to the church, he just drop us off, me and my younger sister, and yeah, we will be there by ourselves. So it goes on for about a year, and just before, when it was nearer to Christmas, both of our Sunday school teacher sat us down and was asking whether we are Christian or not, and we answered no, because both our parents are non-Christian, and they presented the gospel to both me and my sister, and sometimes later after we ask our parents, do some investigation why my mom and my dad was not Christian, we ask all kinds of questions like, who is the real God? And in the end, I think after a few months, both me and my sister come to a conclusion that we totally need a savior, and we need to respond to the invitation for Jesus to come in our life, and we both gave our life to Christ in that Methodist church. Yeah, when I was 9 years old.
Wow.
Yes, and we've been going to that same church until I was 12, 13 years old, and then my family make a move to 1 hour away from the church from where we stay, and we couldn't go to the Sunday school anymore or the church, and we, because of the new relocation, we changed high school, we changed school and everything, and one of my teacher in the new high school was part of Every Nation Malaysia, and he took me and my sister to church, and that's where I met Alfred.
Well, that who wants to hear the story, eh? Well, that's right. Well, that's actually a beautiful moment to bring in a bit of the old romance. Alfred, why don't you tell us about the moment when you first laid eyes upon Kelly?
I got back from studying from England, and then, I remember it was near Christmas. Me and my best friend were in church. We were part of the carolers. You know, we used to go around houses and do caroling, and we were waiting in the church. Me and my best friend just sitting there, and then. Sorry, I turned to my best friend and I said, whoa, check that out. So as guys would do when we saw a beautiful lady, we started to keep our eyes on the lady. And then we were talking about her. But after, you know, I just came back from England, and then when I started to go to what we call small groups or connect groups, and then I realized she was part of it. I was like, woo! So we were in a connect group for a few months, and then the pastor started to form a youth group. Remember the time Kelly was just 16, 17 years old. I was 22, 23.
Oh, okay, cradle snatcher.
So, when the pastor started to do what we call ENY, we call it Youth on Fire during the time.
There was some fire going on, wasn't there?
passionate fire. Anyway, so I was approached to be part of the youth leadership, and Kelly was one of the youth in the group. So to all avoid any scandals, I held back my passion. No, so we just continue to serve. We serve in various ministry, in the youth, in worship team, in creative arts, drama team. So and just doing all kinds of stuff as a group, you know. So we didn't really date. And then, so I waited for her to finish her high school and college, and her studies. Really, I waited for her to finish her studies, and so that as soon as she turned into that beautiful swan. No kidding. So as when she finished her studies after a couple of months, I decided to DTR, define the relationship, and started courting her.
Great. I really want to hear your version of this, Kelly. Did Alf get that right?
Yes, I think so. That, at least from his point of view. No.
Why don't you jump to the proposal? I mean, how did that play out? What actually happened? How romantic was it?
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, I want to hear from Kelly.
Yeah.
Oh, you planned it. Okay, give it. Okay.
So after 2.5 years of dating, I decided it was time for us to get married. I decided. All right. And then I asked God. So every year in the Malaysian church, towards the end of the year, the pastors will take all the leaders away for a retreat to plan for the following years. So I told my pastors, Pastor Timothy, I said, I'm going to propose during the retreat. And we began to work out some plans. And I remember just before we checked out of the resort, after the leadership, the pastor said, I want all the leaders to meet in this apartment because we need to make an important announcement. So all of us got in there, and Kelly kind of become suspicious because all the cameras started to come out, all the people doing the audio started to be ready to record, and she's like, and she saw me, and when the pastor said, Alfred has a revelation from God, and he wants to tell us about it. So that's where I proposed in front of all the leaders, took out the ring, read a poem, and sang her a song. And
wow.
And she said, and when I went on my knees, I said,
sing it,
would
sing
you,
it,
would
sing
you
it,
marry
sing
me?
It.
Really? I'll do it. Nah. When I went on my knees, I said, would you marry me? She looked at me with tears in her eyes. She said, I got to ask my dad. So.
To be fair, I never witnessed a proposal. And I'm very sure that he has not asked my dad yet. So I do not know what to answer or say.
Is it a good response?
I said I gotta ask my dad.
But did you like him?
Oh yes, after like it's after 3 years.
Took a while. I had to woo her, Alfred, with your songs and your blue rinsed hair. For those who don't know, Alfred had striking blue hair. He dyed it completely blue back in the day. That's great. Well, Kelly, it'd be nice if we just went back a little bit to your family life and your childhood, and just tell us a bit about family life for you growing up in KL. And what was that like?
Well, that's a long time ago. let me see, in case I don't. Okay. So my family, non-Christian, mom, dad, three sisters, and youngest is the brother. So three sisters, one brother. We're not well-to-do, and but I don't remember that I feel any lack or that something is missing out, and I just remember there's a lot of fun with my dad, and we're always together as a big family, and maybe remember that I'm always feeling hungry. I mean, yeah, because supplies is not like abundance. I mean, I don't know what is abundant, but I know that if my mom cooks something, and if she say each person get half an egg, like fried egg, half an egg, and somebody took a whole egg, somebody in my family will miss out on that half egg, you know? Yeah. Or if it's a chicken nibble or chicken drumstick, each one get one chicken and somebody took two, somebody will miss out on the, So when I was 12, 13, we make the big move. We move from a flat or apartment to a landed property, to a new suburb, new school, new friends, new environment, and we were totally cut off from the church. And my mom and dad does have occasional disagreement, like normal healthy marriages, but after we moved to the new house, me and my siblings, we can tell there's a lot of tension and stress and quarrels, and yeah, even though it's a double story house, when we were sleeping, we can always hear the argument. And yeah, I mean, the house wasn't like big. I mean, Alfred knows, but so me and my sisters realized that my younger sister, we realized that it's the mortgages and the finance part. I mean, all the adjustment really set us back financially, and we were crying and we were praying, and then. We were just thinking, if it's just lack of money that makes my parents quarrel, we would just, you know, we would just bring in the money that to solve or to make peace. And in saying that, the legal age to work in Malaysia that time is 16 years old, and we were just 13, 12 years old. And but we were praying, and so one day, both of us decided to walk around the new neighborhood business park and to knock on doors on the shop lots and businesses and asking for vacancies. And there was a lot of no, a lot of rejection because it's not legal to hire somebody that's young. I don't know, maybe it's just ignorance, but we were praying and we were really asking God to show us. And I think after on the third day that we were walking and asking, praise God, somebody, let's call them Mr. A and Mrs. A, pulled me and my sister aside and say that they explained to us that they're willing to pay 1 ringgit and 20 cents per hour and give us work to do. But we are not allowed to tell anybody. And if somebody asks us or walk up to us in the store and ask, what are you doing here? Because we were young, and we are supposed to reply that we are just helping our godparents doing some chores. So a 1 ringgit and 20 cents, that's like 10 cents per 5 minutes. But we were we were just so excited, and both my parents have no clue of this. And when we got the job, when we told my parents, they were upset, they were angry, there were a lot of they worried that there's a lot of risk, and maybe somebody might abuse us, or you know, and all that. And but we told them that we will give it a try, and if anything, we will let you know. And yeah, we will come back to my mom and my dad. So that's it. We got the job and we work. The shops open from 8:30 a.m. to 10:30 at night. It's a stationery shop. But because we have to go to school, we can't quit school. We only work after school hours. And sometimes they would just tell us come at night, like 6:30 to 10:30, 4 hours. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we work, and when payday come, we were so happy. I mean, we know that it's not much, but we know that it will definitely help. And so we work every time. We ask them what time we can come. And then, yeah, when we got the pay, we gave it to my mom and dad. And they were just happy. And until my mom found out that me and my sister were taking 10% out of the salary and paying tithes. And she was so upset. She's like, we are a family of, you know, not having enough, and we don't have money to give away to your church to support the pastor. We need the money ourselves. And yeah, she was just upset. She's like, can't you see? They don't need the money. We need the money. And both me and my sister were trying to explain to my mom and dad. We started off with nothing. We don't even have the $50 per month. And now we're just taking $5 out to give back to God, like to honor God. And she couldn't understand. So in the end, we just told her, okay, every month we promise we'll give you all the money, except 10%, we will keep it to save for ourselves. But we didn't tell them that the place that we choose to put the money in the safe is the tithes and offering bag. that's helped a lot.
So there was a good amount of hardship for you financially.
Yeah, but the both me and my sister, we don't just view it as difficult times. And we see how God, God's faithfulness, He keeps opening doors and even favors. And we didn't add any worries to my mom and my dad in terms of education and the way we handle ourselves. And I think through all the life challenges that we have as a family, that my mom and my dad, and yeah, they can see how we take on the challenges, how we approach God, how we pray, how we seek Him, and not just complain or get upset, yeah, whether with my dad or anything, like, yeah, or at the world. And so in all the things that we go through, it just show that God was real to me and my sister, and they cannot deny that when we choose to honor God, even the little that we have, that Yeah, he is faithful and he is good, not just to me and my sister, but to my family.
Yes. I know that Romans 8:28 is one of your favorite scriptures, isn't it? For all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes. Why is that so meaningful to you?
I believe that what the enemy is trying to do or to throw us off or anything, like when we were cut off from the church, what he didn't know is it draws us even nearer to him. And we were more desperate. And it might be the invisible God that in the beginning, that's what my mom and dad see. But he just seasons after seasons and prayer after prayer. Yeah, in the end, God proved himself more and more. And it just bring us through. And holding on to that hope that we can come onto the other side, that all this serves a purpose, a greater purpose. So, yes. Like now, I mean, my whole family are safe. And yeah, that's one of the good that comes out of all this. Yes. I mean, if I have a choice, I would prefer that my mom and dad are Christian and bring me up and my sister. But I'm just thankful that my family are safe.
Wonderful.
Whether it's the other way around, but yeah.
Wonderful. Wow, that's great, isn't it?
And now she has to tie.
What'd you say?
Now she's tidying.
So it's true that God is faithful. And that's, I guess, what we can take away from this is God sees everything. We see a part. And there's something about the human heart that wants to be in control. But if we let go and we let God take full control, whether it's financial hardship, relationship tension, and just not sure about the future, how that's going to go. God is real, and God loves us, and God, he really takes us, and it works everything for good. Can anybody say amen? Amen. It's true, isn't it? Maya, could you maybe join us up here? That'd be great. Thank you for sharing that.
I'll just quickly also say that seeing the story as not part of the family during the time when, you know, doing a lot of ministry and trying to be in the house to court her. Their parents were not Christians, but because of the testimony of Kelly and the sister's life, the parents begin to see the faithfulness of God in their lives, begin to see how Kelly and the sister honor the parent, honor God. And that kind of changed their perspective of this invisible God that they do not know. And I have the privilege to share the gospels to the dead on his sickbed, and he accepted Christ. And we had the privilege of a couple of years back, went back to baptize the mom.
Wow.
So that was beautiful.
That's lovely. God's good. It just dropped into my heart now. It's not actually in our script, but I think it would be great if we could pray for our loved ones who don't know God. I don't think we've ever done this on a Sunday morning. If you follow God, Christ today, he's your Lord and Savior. But you have parents or siblings or nephews and nieces who are not walking with God, I'm going to ask Kelly if you would pray shortly. Does anybody have anyone in their family that don't know God, and yet you carry that in your heart and you pray for them and believe? And sometimes it goes on. Time goes on. You're not really seeing the fruit of it. But I want you to know God hears our prayers. He's not a cold statue. It's not praying to a, you know, a roof. It's a real living God that hears our prayers. And when we pray, He moves. He's more powerful than anything. And so, if that's you, I just want you to just bring those people, those names, and present to your mind right now as we just pray. And Kelly, can I just ask you to pray for, I guess, the scores, maybe even the hundreds of our family members who don't yet know Christ, that you've seen, you know, in your own family come through over years of just being faithful and letting God be God. Sometimes you can't make it happen. You so want to, don't you? But you can't make, you just can't. You've got to let God. Only God can do some things. And so, would you be able to pray for us? Thank you.
Father God, we thank you for all that you have done for us, that you have chosen us to be, that you have called us to be the one that stands for our family, that stands between our loved one and you. We pray and believe that your hand is not too short, God Lord, and there is no mistakes that you have called us, each and every one of us, God, to you. I pray that we will see that what you have in store for our family, what's your plan, oh God Lord, what's your will, God Lord, for us and our family. I pray that you will reveal and help us to see what you can see, oh God Lord. See the hope, yes, oh God Lord, to see, yes, that there is a way. That as long as we choose to hold on to you, that you will not forget them, oh God Lord. That you will reach out and open up their eyes to see that you are the one and true living God, that you are not invisible, and that you are powerful enough, oh God Lord, to love them, to save them, oh God Lord. I pray that they would choose to come, each of our loved ones choose to come to know you. Come to taste of your goodness. Come to know of your love. Come to know of your ways, God Lord. I pray that we will know how to continue to commit them unto your hands. That your Spirit will continue to work in them, oh God Lord, and in your time. With your faithfulness, oh God Lord, that they too will come to know you and accept you as their Lord and Savior. We thank you for our family. We thank you that you have called us. Help us not to grow weary. Help us not to be discouraged, oh God Lord, but Lord, that we will hope on to you and remember, just like how you call us, just like how you save us, oh God Lord, that we will hold to that hope, oh God Lord, for our families and our loved ones. We commit all this in Jesus' mighty name, we ask and pray.
Just while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if we can just remain in this moment. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. As this whole service, every song, the transition, this story of Kelly's life is all pointing to a God who's real and a God who knocks on the door of our heart and says, will you let me in? Jesus is here today. If you want to meet him, you can meet him. You can experience a new life. The Bible says the old has gone and the new has come. Becoming new is not through self-help. It's not through religious endeavor. It's through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because God knew that we were helpless. We were lost in our sin. We were pre-wired. We were automatically would lean towards our sin. And he knew that. And so he knew he had to intervene. And so he came to this earth and he paid the penalty for all sin, for all men, for all women, for all people. One sacrifice by a perfect being, that the law would be satisfied and that men would go free. It is the most precious gift, and it's available to all people, regardless of education, regardless of gender, regardless of age, regardless of our own self-righteous estimations. It is the pure love of God. It is the forgiveness of God that is available to those who choose it. Today you can choose. If you want to know this Jesus, if you want to begin this relationship with God, if you've come to the end of yourself, if you've come to that place, you want to turn from the way you're living now and that emptiness on the inside. You want to turn from that to know God and to know peace, to know true joy, to feel accepted, to be adopted as a child of God. You only need to pray a simple prayer from your heart. And if that's you this morning, I want to invite you just to pray quietly in your own heart. And just repeat after me. Just repeat after me quietly. Dear Lord, I want you to live in my heart. I want to turn from the way I was living, and I want to live for you. Would you please forgive me for my sin? Would you please cleanse me and wash me from all unrighteousness? Make me a Christian. Let me walk with you and know you.